proposed regulation pertaining to Chapter 604A(c) of the Nevada Administrative Code, as provided by Senate Bill Number 432, which creates an act relating to consumer litigation funding, as described by the Notice of Intent to Act Upon a Regulation, Notice of Hearing for Adoption of Regulation posted on November 9, 2020. This hearing is scheduled from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Today is Wednesday, December 9, 2020, and the time is 1:02 p.m. Financial Institutions Division staff present at today's hearing: Commissioner Sandy O'Loughlin, Deputy Attorney General Vivian Rakowski, Examiner and your coordinator today, Jennifer Ramsey, and myself, Deputy Commissioner Mary Young. If you have not already done so, please take the time to turn off your video and mute your phone or microphone. Keep your phone or microphone muted until called upon by the coordinator. If joining by web, please activate by clicking the dialog balloon and enter your information on the sign-in sheet for the meeting record. If joining by phone, please email fidmaster@fid.state.nv.us requesting to sign the form. For all comments, please do the following to let us know you wish to provide a comment. For those joining by web, type an X in the chat box. For those joining us by phone, when the coordinator opens up comment for call and participants, please speak up at that time. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. It is important to emphasize that the purpose of this hearing is to give all interested parties a reasonable opportunity to submit information and comments regarding the adoption of regulations as it pertains to Chapter 604C of the Nevada Administrative Code. In today's hearing, we will be soliciting general comments regarding the subject matter contained in those sections of the Legislative Council Bureau's draft proposed regulation for adoption in accordance with the provisions of the statute. The regulation will be submitted to and reviewed by the Legislative Commission for final approval, and then will be filed with the Nevada Secretary of State. We will now move on to item 2 on the agenda, public comment on the proposed regulation. Members of the public are encouraged to address the commissioner regarding any matter. However, no action may be taken on that matter. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person or less due to time constraints. Comments will first be taken from those individuals that joined in by web, and second from those individuals that joined in by phone. Web participants, please type an X in the chat box if you wish to comment. Wait to be recognized by the coordinator before unmuting your phone or microphone. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. Jennifer, do we have anyone on joining us from the web that would like to provide a comment?
We have Eric Schuler.
Okay, Mr. Schuler, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you very much. It's Eric, E-R-I-C, Schuler, S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R, and I'm the president for the Alliance for Responsible Consumer Legal Funding, also known as ARC. I have two comments. First one is on Section 8 in regards to having communication with the consumer after a contract is entered into. That section as written could be interpreted that we could only have electronic communications with the consumer after a contract is entered into. I just would like to have some clarification from the department in writing, as you have done in the past, that companies may have electronic communications with the consumer before a contract is entered into. I think just need some basic clarification. And then the second is on Section 6, Number 3, regarding unethical advertising. I understand the department doesn't want companies advertising material that is unethical, and I applaud that. We don't either as an industry trade association. But the fact of the department having the ability to pre-approve any advertising before companies do this, I think would be very hindersome for the companies, and also could be very burdensome on the department. Again, maybe some clarification in a follow-up document that states that the department may enact this if there has been a finding against the company. In other words, if the company has had a reputation of doing unethical advertising, then the department may step in to review their comments prior to any time they put on any more advertising. I'll end it with that and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Schuller. And just to let you know, we are going to touch on those two sections along with other sections a little bit further when we start the presentations of the proposed regulations. So we will hopefully address your concerns properly at that time. Jennifer, do we have a next commenter joining us by the web?
We have Casey Steitler.
Okay, Mr. Steitler, we're ready for your comment.
For the record, Casey Steitler, C-A-S-E-Y. S-T-I-T-E-L-E-R, with the law firm of Lewis Roka Roth Gerber Christie, which represents the American Legal Finance Association, members of which are currently seeking licensure under this chapter, and some of which who have already received licensure. And our comments relate first to Section 6 of the regulations with regard to the prohibition on unethical advertising, which we of course agree with. I think the intent of that section, but are concerned about some of the ambiguity in the language in terms of, number one, you know, the determination that advertising is considered unethical, and number two, the time and circumstances under which the commissioner would enact the authority to actually review any advertising before it's disseminated. So we would definitely recommend that this section be clarified to determine the circumstances under which this authority be used, and additionally to clarify how that determination would be made as to whether the advertising is considered unethical if a review were to occur. Secondly, with regard to, I believe it's Section 7 of the proposed regulations, the requirement that a consumer litigation funding company submit their form funding contract or agreement for approval when any change is made to the contract is a very large burden for you know, these businesses. Oftentimes they'll make changes to their agreements due to market forces. Sometimes they will have clients or consumers who will request specific changes just based on their specific case. And so the requirement to submit a contract anytime a change is made and then wait potentially 30 days before being able to actually use that contract is overly burdensome. And we would ask that language be clarified and limited to either material changes or changes that are not specific to a single consumer, at the very least, if not removing that requirement entirely. And then we also have some concerns as they relate to sections 13 and 14 of the proposed regulations, where it requires that a consumer litigation funding company provide notice to the FID to change any officer, manager, or member who acts in a managerial capacity of the licensee. That language we think is pretty ambiguous in terms of managerial capacity, and we would request that be defined or explained, I think, within the regulations so that consumer litigation funding companies have direction in terms of when they'll be required to provide that notice for any potential change to the management of the company. And I can answer any questions or bring these up as we go through the regulations.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Steitler. I believe we are touching on those particular sections that you just mentioned when we start talking about the presentation of the proposed regulations. And hopefully those our comments will give you some satisfaction of what we plan to do or what our thoughts process are behind those regulations. And then, of course, after we do the proposed regulations, you're always welcome to make another comment at the end.
Thank you.
Jennifer, do we have any other commenters?
Kim Halverson.
Okay, Ms. Halverson, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you for the opportunity to make comments. This is Kim. Kim Halvorsen, H-A-L-V-O-R-S-E-N, and I'm senior counsel with Oasis Financial. I simply wanted to echo Mr. Schuler's comments regarding Section 8 regarding electronic communications with consumers prior to execution of the funding contract. I am simply seeking some clarification from the department that email could be used to communicate with consumers to facilitate execution of that contract, simply because the industry practice includes sending contract documents to consumers for execution via email, which would obviously precede written consent. I understand from your prior comments that you'll be addressing this later in the presentation, and I look forward to that. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions, but thank you for this opportunity.
That's it.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters from the web?
There are no more comments from the web.
Okay, do we have anyone wishing to provide a comment joining us from telephone? And there are no additional comments at this time. We will move on to item number 3 on the agenda, the presentation of the proposed regulation and consideration of written comments. The following is a summary of the comments received for the regulation. The division received 3 written comments prior to the first workshop, and 4 individuals provided comments during the first workshop. The division received 6 written comments prior to the second workshop, and 5 individuals provided comments during the second workshop. These 3 written comments were received prior to this adoption hearing. The division considered all written comments received from the Small Business Impact Survey, all written and verbal comments received prior to and during the first and second workshops, as well as written comments received prior to this adoption hearing. The division removed language and or requirements that were confusing or would cause unnecessary efforts on the part of an NRS 604C licensees based upon those comments, as long as it did not impact the consumer protection responsibility of the division or the spirit intent of the law. The initial agency draft regulation was submitted to Legislative Council Bureau on March 12, 2020, and revisions in consideration of industry comments were discussed with LCB on August 24, 2020, and additional revisions submitted on November 6, 2020 to LCB for their review to determine that the regulation conformed to legislative authority and intent. Legislative Council Bureau completed their review and provided the revised regulation dated November 20th, 2020. LCB file R03620, dated November 20, 2020, is being adopted here today. From comments received from the industry prior and during second workshop and held on October 21st, 2020, and comments received prior to this adoption hearing, there are a few sections that are still a concern from the industry. The division addresses those concerns as follows. Section 3 only allows for 1 documentation preparation fee per legal claim. Pursuant to NRS 604C.110, document preparation fee means a one-time fee per legal claim, not to exceed $500, assessed for document preparation services related to the preparation of a consumer litigation funding contract. Since it is a statutory requirement, the division cannot take action and change the language in the law or contradict the meaning of the law and the regulation being adopted today. Section 5. Industry was concerned that companies could not comply with this section. The division took action on this item and removed it, Section 5, in its entirety from the regulation. Concerns with Section 7, now Section 6 of the revised regulation. That the commissioner reserves the right to require all consumer litigation funding companies to submit proposed advertising for prior approval. No action was taken to remove this section, since this section is reserving the right for the commissioner to require a company to submit its advertising for prior approval, if the commissioner deems necessary as a result of a consumer complaint or issues that could arise from an examination. This section will not hinder a company's advertising abilities if there are no issues for the division to request prior review and approval. As always, the division will work with an industry, so if there's ever a question to the advertising industry, is free to email us or call us at any time, and we can walk through any kind of issues that we think may arise. There is concerns with Section 8, now Section 7 of the revised regulation. Requires all changes to the contract to be reviewed by the commissioner. No action was taken to remove or revise this language, since it's not for changes for any specific transaction, but for material changes in the contract template itself. Again, if there's any questions to what a contract should be submitted to the division for approval or not, we are willing to pick up the phone, email us, and we'll be willing to work with the industry. Concerns that Section 9, now Section 8 of the revised regulation, prohibits a consumer litigation funding company from electronic communication with the consumer prior to contract being signed. No action was taken to remove or revise this language, since this section does not prohibit a company from initially communicating with the consumer electronically to facilitate the initial contract. This section applies when a company and consumer enter into the contract, allowing electronic communication to occur through the life of the transaction. A company can have electronic communications with the consumer prior to the execution of the contract. Clarification on Section 11, now Section 10 of the revised regulation. The industry was concerned that using a registered agent in the state would require that all records need to be at the registered agent's Nevada location. NRS 604C.400 provides, with respect to a registered agent, a licensee who has an office or other place of business located outside of the state shall file with the commissioner the information required pursuant to NRS 77.310 and continuously maintain a registered agent for service of legal process. Such agent must be an attorney who is licensed to practice law in the state and who has an office located in the state. Therefore, if a licensee is located in the state, that would be the license location where books and records must be maintained. If a licensee is out of state, the books and records must be made available to the division in the state at a registered agent location, and the registered agent must be an attorney licensed to practice law in the state. If the division needs to fly to the state to out-of-state license location to review books and records, a licensee shall pay the costs related to the travel, including per diem. Sections 14 and 15, now Sections 13 and 14 of the revised regulation, the request was to remove managerial capacity. This language is similar to other statutes the division regulates. Section 14, now Section 13, is for changes after initial approval of a license. And Section 15, now Section 14, is for the initial licensing. The division did not take action and remove managerial capacity. The division will work with the individual applicant as needed, as we currently do with other license types, to determine who may or may not need to be vetted. Section 20, now Section 19 of the revised regulation. It had the wrong statutory reference regarding the Attorney General assessment. It referenced NRS 659.098. It should have read NRS 658.098. Action was taken on this item and it was corrected. Section 21. Now Section 20 of the revised regulation. For security purposes, the industry does not want to release the consumer's names with the annual report required pursuant to NRS 604C.640. The industry also believes that NRS 604C.640 does not require their consumer name to be reported. NRS 604C.640(1C), as stated in part, the annual percentage charged to each customer. NRS 604C-643 states in part, with the report is made available to the public, the commissioner shall maintain confidentiality of the name of each company and consumer. The emphasis on each consumer in each part of those sections implies that the consumer name be part of the reporting. Such information will be made confidential as all other records received by the division. No action on this item to remove or revise the language. Section 22. Now Section 21 in the revised regulation, regarding disclosing of records to another state or federal agency if a request to the commissioner is made for such records. Industry would like additional language to be added that all state and federal agencies' employees must keep these records confidential. No action taken to revise this language, since all state and federal agencies and their employees must keep the confidentiality of all records that come into their possession. As well, our division cannot restrict or advise another state or federal agency in our regulation. Section 23, now Section 22 in the revised regulation. Industry requests longer than 10 business days to reply to the division regarding a consumer complaint. 10 business days is used with another license type of the division, and it currently works. Most complaints can be answered quickly depending on the nature of the complaint. This section does state The commissioner may, for good cause shown, extend the time to file a verified answer for a period not to exceed 60 days. The division can provide an extension if needed. If the licensee's request for an extension and for good cause, no action was taken on this item to change the time frame. There was a question regarding the 180-day payment schedule in NRS 604C.360, Section 19 of Senate Bill 432, not being addressed in the regulation, and would like the division's approval to allow companies to provide a payment schedule for 6 months instead of 180 days due to the 180 days being only 360 days and not 365 days. This is a statutory requirement and cannot be changed in the regulation, nor can the division approve a time frame different from the statute. There was also a question with needing clarification on the renewal date and renewal application. The license must be renewed on or before January 31st of each year. The division will post the renewal form within the next few weeks once it's finalized. There was another question about clarification on when the annual report is due. It is due January 31st. The website has not been updated yet, but it will be soon along with the renewal form. As always, FID will work with its licensees and will answer any questions that it can in the future once you're licensed and you're operating. We're always here to answer questions via email, via phone. Okay, I will now read the proposed regulation R036-20 into the record. Section 1. Chapter 604C of NAC is hereby amended by adding thereto provisions set forth as sections 2 to 24 inclusive of this regulation. Section 2. As used in NRS 604C.360 and 604C.380, the commissioner interprets promptly to mean that the delivery of the consumer litigation funding contract or the forwarding of the notice of the cancellation, as applicable, must occur not later than one business day after the contract is executed or canceled, as applicable. Section 3. A consumer may seek more than one consumer litigation funding contract per legal claim. The total amount of consumer litigation funding provided by a consumer litigation company to a consumer must not exceed $500,000 per legal claim, regardless of the number of consumer litigation funding contracts taken on the legal claim. 2. If the consumer seeks more than one consumer litigation funding contract, A, with a different consumer litigation funding company than the company from which he or she has obtained the original consumer litigation funding contract, the different consumer litigation funding company must comply with paragraph E of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.300, and B, the consumer litigation funding company with which the consumer seeks additional consumer litigating funding contracts must make the disclosure pursuant to paragraph F of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350. 3. Pursuant to NRS 604C.110, a consumer may pay only one document preparation fee per legal claim, regardless of the number of consumer litigation funding contracts taken on the legal claim. And a consumer litigation funding company shall not charge a document preparation fee if the consumer has previously paid a document preparation fee with regard to the legal claim. 4. Pursuant to NRS 604C.310, the amount to be paid to a company under a consumer litigation funding contract must not exceed the funded amount plus charges not to exceed a rate of 40% annually. If pursuant to subsection 1, of NRS 604C.360, the payment schedule in a consumer litigation funding contract contains multiple 180-day periods in 1 year. The charges for the consumer litigation funding contract for each 180-day period must not exceed a cumulative rate of 40% annually. Section 4. If a consumer mails a notice of cancellation to the consumer litigation funding company pursuant to subparagraph 2, paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350, in subsection 2 of NRS 604C.360, or if a consumer notifies the consumer litigation funding company as described in subsection 3 of NRS 604C.360, the consumer litigation funding company shall forward such notices to the attorney or law firm retained by the consumer in the legal claim of the consumer not later than one business day after receipt of the notice. Section 5. As set forth in a consumer litigation funding contract pursuant to subsection 4 of NRS 604C.360, a consumer litigation funding company shall not collect anything if there are no proceeds from the legal claim and any amount above the available proceeds from the legal claim if the funded amount and agreed upon charges exceed the proceeds from the legal claim. Section 6. In intentionally advertise material false or misleading information pursuant to paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C-300, includes without limitation, advertising by use of false or deceptive statements, results, or testimonials. 2. A consumer litigation funding company shall not advertise in any manner that A. may tend to confuse the identity of the company with any other consumer litigation funding company, or B. states or imply that a consumer litigation funding contract of a prospective consumer with another company will be paid off, or that the charges or fees for the consumer litigation funding contract will be reduced if the consumer litigation funding contract is transferred to the consumer litigation funding company, which is advertising. 3. No unethical advertising by consumer litigation funding companies will be permitted, and the commissioner reserves the right to require all consumer litigation funding companies to submit proposed advertising for approval before it's disseminated through the press or by radio, television, or the internet. Section 7. 1. To file a consumer litigation funding contract with the commissioner pursuant to subsection 5 of NRS 604C.300, a consumer litigation funding company must submit the contract to the commissioner for approval. When the applicant submits his or her application to obtain a license to engage in the business of consumer litigation funding company, when a consumer litigation funding company makes any changes to the consumer litigation funding contract, if requested by the commissioner or his or her authorized representative when making an examination pursuant to NRS 604C.610, if requested by the commissioner when the licensee submits a report required by NRS 604C.640, and at the request of the commissioner or his or her authorized representative, the consumer litigation funding contract filed pursuant to subsection 1 is a template and must comply with NRS 604C-300 to 604C.400 inclusive, except that the provisions concerning the details of individual consumer litigation funding transactions, including without limitation, signatures, initials, and the amount of the consumer litigation funding transaction, may be left blank. Any required details left blank must be filled in when the consumer litigation funding contract is used to establish a consumer litigation funding transaction. A consumer litigation funding contract filed pursuant to paragraph A of subsection 1 is deemed approved by the commissioner when the commissioner issues and delivers a license to the applicant pursuant to NRS 604C.560. Pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 1 is deemed approved by the commissioner 30 days after the consumer litigation funding company files the changes to the consumer litigation funding contract with the commissioner, unless the commissioner notifies the consumer litigation funding company in writing that the changes are not approved or need to be amended. And pursuant to paragraph C, D, or E of subsection 1 is deemed approved by the commissioner upon the filing of the consumer litigation funding contract with the commissioner. Such approval may be revoked by the commissioner not later than 30 days after. Such filing, if the consumer litigation funding contract fails to conform to the requirements of subsection 2, or an investigation or examination made at the office or place of business of the consumer litigation funding company, if the consumer litigation funding company fails to comply with the provisions of this chapter and chapter 604C of NRS. Section 8. Except as otherwise provided in paragraph C of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.350 and subsection 2 of NRS 604C.360, once a consumer litigation funding contract is entered into between a consumer and a consumer litigation funding company, the consumer litigation funding company may communicate with the consumer through electronic mail if the consumer consents in writing in the consumer litigation funding contract to such communication through electronic mail. Section 9. 1. A licensee that uses a form or a consumer litigation funding contract written in a language other than English shall have the document translated into English and shall maintain a copy of the document with its English translation. 2. A document translated pursuant to this section must be translated by an interpreter who is certified by the court administrator in accordance with the provisions of NRS 1.510 and regulations adopted pursuant thereto, or approved in writing by the Division of Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry. Accompanied by a certificate issued by the interpreter, the certificate must declare that the translated document is true and complete translation of the document written in a language other than English, identify the document written in a language other than English and its English translation, include the date of the translation, and include the name, address, telephone number, and electronic mail address, if any, of the interpreter. The commissioner may require a licensee to provide a translation of any non-standard document that is written in a language other than English. The commissioner may assess a licensee for all costs incurred by the commissioner to verify the licensee's compliance with this section. Section 10. Each licensee who operates an office or other place of business within this state that is licensed pursuant to Chapter 604C of NRS shall make available at the office or place of business within this state the books, accounts, papers, records, and files of the office or place of business to the commissioner or a representative of the commissioner. Section 11. 1. An application submitted to the commissioner pursuant to NRS 604C.500 must be accompanied by non-refundable fee of $1,000 for the application and survey, a non-refundable investigation fee of $50 for investigating each individual owner, partner, officer, director, and manager or manager who acts in a managerial capacity of the business entity applying to be a licensee, and C, an initial licensing fee of $1,000. 2. If the commissioner considers an application withdrawn pursuant to subsection 3 of NRS 604C.500, and the initial licensing fee set forth in paragraph C of subsection 1 has been submitted to the commissioner, or if the commissioner does not grant an application pursuant to NRS 604C.560, the commissioner shall refund the fee paid pursuant to paragraph C of subsection 1 to the applicant not later than 30 days after the withdrawal or denial. Section 12. Upon entering an order granting an application pursuant to NRS 604C.560, the commissioner will issue and deliver a license to the licensee for each location where the licensee proposes to do business pursuant to paragraph D of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. The licensee shall prominently display the license at each location where the licensee proposes to do business pursuant to paragraph D of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. Section 13. A licensee who wishes to change the name of the licensee or change an officer, director, or manager who acts in the managerial capacity of the licensee must, not later than 10 days before making the change, give written notice of the proposed change to the commissioner. 2. Upon receipt of the proposed change pursuant to subsection 1, the commissioner will provide written approval of the change and the date of the approval. Section 14. 1. A partner, officer, director, manager, or member who acts in a managerial capacity and registered agent of the business entity, if applicable, must satisfy the requirements of NRS 604C.510 at the time a business entity applies for a license pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.500. 2. If the provisions of subsection 1 are not satisfied, the commissioner will not issue a license to the business entity pursuant to NRS 604C.560. Section 15. A person shall not engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company unless the person has been issued a license pursuant to NRS 604C.560, and the location of each office of the business complies with the provisions of an applicable planning and zoning ordinance. Section 16. 1. A license issued pursuant to NRS 604C.560 expires January 31 of the year following the date of issuance and expires on January 31 of each year thereafter. 2. On or before January 31 of each year, a licensee may renew his or her license upon the approval of the commissioner if the licensee files an application showing that the licensee conforms with the requirements for an initial application as set forth in this chapter in Chapter 604C of NRS, and the licensee pays a fee of $1,000 for the renewal of the license. If a licensee fails to renew his or her license pursuant to subsection 2 on or before January 31 of each year, the commissioner will deem the license to be suspended. A licensee shall not engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company if his or her license is suspended. The commissioner may reinstate a license that is suspended pursuant to subsection 3 if the licensee whose license is suspended within 10 business days after his or her license is suspended. A. Notifies the commissioner of his or her intent to reinstate the license. B. Submits an application pursuant to paragraph A of subsection 2. And C. Submits the fee pursuant to paragraph B of subsection 2. If a licensee fails to comply with requirements for reinstatement of his or her license pursuant to subsection 4, the commissioner will deem the license to be revoked. A licensee whose license is revoked shall apply for and obtain a new license pursuant to this chapter and Chapter 604C of NRS before he or she may engage in the business of a consumer litigation funding company. It is the responsibility of the licensee to renew a license issued pursuant to this chapter, Chapter 604C of NRS, on or before January 31 of each year. A lack of notice from the commissioner to any person concerning the expiration of a license or the need to renew a license is not justification or excuse for failure to renew a license on or before January 31 and does not constitute grounds for a waiver of any of the requirements of this chapter or Chapter 604C of NRS. Section 17. 1. The commissioner will charge and collect a fee of $75 per hour from each licensee for any supervision, examination, audit, investigation, or hearing conducted pursuant to Chapter 604C of NRS. The commissioner will bill each licensee upon completion of the activity for the fee established in subsection 1. The fee must be paid within 30 days after the date on which the bill is received. In addition to any other fee allowed by this chapter or Chapter 604C of NRS, and except as otherwise provided in this subsection, any payment received after that date must include a penalty of 10% of the fee plus an additional 1% of the fee for each month or a portion of a month that the fee is not paid. The commissioner may waive the penalty for good cause. Failure of a licensee to pay the fee required in subsection 1 as provided in this section constitute grounds for revocation of the license or his or her license. Section 18.1. Except as otherwise provided in NAC 658.030, each licensee shall pay to the division, the financial institution's Department of Business Industry, an annual assessment of $300 to cover costs related to the employment of a certified public accountant and the performance of audits and examinations conducted by the division. The division shall bill each licensee for the assessment, which must be paid within 30 days after the date on which the bill is received. In addition to any other fee allowed by this chapter or Chapter 604C of NRS, a charge of 10% of the assessment will be imposed on any licensee whose assessment is received by the division after the date on which the assessment is due. Section 19. 1. Each licensee shall pay to the division of financial institutions of the Department of Business and Industry the assessment to cover the cost of legal services provided by the Attorney General to the Commissioner and the division, which is imposed pursuant to NRS 658.098. The division shall bill each licensee for the assessment described in subsection 1. The licensee shall pay the assessment within 30 days after the date on which the licensee receives the bill. A charge of 10% of the assessment described in subsection 1 will be imposed on any licensee if payment for an assessment described in subsection 1 is received by the division after the date on which the assessment is due. Failure to pay the assessment described in subsection 1 constitute grounds for the revocation of the license of the licensee. Section 20. The report due on or before January 31 pursuant to NRS 604C.640 must 1. Be filed A with the commissioner with the application for renewal required pursuant to section 16 of this regulation, and B. on a form prescribed by the commissioner, and 2. In addition to the number of consumer litigation funding transactions and with the company engaged in this state for the immediate preceding year, pursuant to paragraph A of subsection 1 of NRS 604C.640, contained for each consumer litigation funding transaction, the name of the consumer, the funded amount for each consumer, and a detail of all charges and the document preparation fee charged to each consumer. Section 21. Except as otherwise provided in subsection 3 of NRS 604C.640, an application for a license for financial records, if any, submitted by an applicant pursuant to the provisions of this chapter and Chapter 604C of NRS, financial records or other documents submitted by a licensee pursuant to an audit, examination, or investigation conducted by the commissioner, and any report of examination made by the commissioner are confidential and may be disclosed only to an authorized employee of the Division of Financial Institutions of the Department of Business and Industry or an agency of this state, any other state or federal government that is investigating the activities of an applicant or a licensee or court upon a court order. Section 22. 1. Upon the receipt of a complaint filed pursuant to NRS 604C.820, the commissioner shall send a copy of the complaint to the licensee named in the complaint. The commissioner may require the accused licensee or authorized representative of the licensee to file a verified answer to the complaint within 10 business days after sending the copy of the complaint pursuant to subsection 1. The, cons- Commissioner may, for good cause shown, extend the time to file a verified answer for a period not to exceed 60 days. If the licensee or an authorized representative of the licensee fails to file a verified answer within the time prescribed by the Commissioner pursuant to subsection 2, the licensee is deemed to have admitted to the allegations contained in the complaint. Subject to the discretion of the Commissioner and except as otherwise provided in section 21 of this regulation, a complaint filed with the Commissioner, any documents filed with the complaint, and the report or information resulting from an investigation of a complaint are confidential. Section 23. 1. For the purpose of NRS 604C.820, a licensee shall post the notice set forth in subsection 2. The following conditions apply to the notice. If printed, the notice shall be printed in at least 16-point bold type or font, with all uppercase letters being printed in at least 18-point type or font. If handwritten or displayed digitally, or by other electronic means, the notice must be in characters that are equivalent in legibility and size to the type and font required for a printed notice. If the licensee uses language other than English for the consumer litigation funding contract, the notice must be posted in English and also in the language other than English. 2. The following notice shall be posted on the internet website of the licensee at the physical location where the licensee conducts business and within the body of the consumer litigation funding contract. The notice shall be in substantially the following form. Notice of right to file a written complaint to the Commissioner of Financial Institutions. You may file a written complaint with the Commissioner of Financial Institutions by submitting a signed complaint to the Office of the Commissioner. The form required to file a complaint can be found on the following internet website for financial institutions, www.fid.nv.gov. You can also request the form by calling the following toll-free telephone number, 1-866-858-8951. Section 24. 1. If the Commissioner finds that records of a licensee are not maintained pursuant to NRS 604C.600 to 604C.640 inclusive, the Commissioner may require the licensee to submit an audited financial statement prepared from his or her books by a certified public accountant who holds a certificate to engage in the practice of public accounting in this state. 2. The statement required pursuant to subsection 1 must be submitted within 60 days after the Commissioner requests the statement. The Commissioner may grant a reasonable extension for the submission if the extension is requested before the statement is due. That completes the presentation of the proposed regulation. We will now move on to item 4, the adoption of the proposed regulations. The Financial Institutions Division hereby adopts Regulation R036-20, which pertains to Chapter 604C of the Nevada Administrative Code, as that regulation is described in the Legislative Council Bureau version dated November 20, 2020. We will now move on to take public comment once more. If anyone would like to make an additional comment, now is the time to do so. There's no need to restate a comment already made. Comments will first be taken from those individuals that joined us via the web, and second from those individuals that joined in by phone. Web participants, please type an X in the chat box if you wish to provide a comment. Please wait to be recognized by the coordinator before muting your phone or microphone. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation for the record before you begin your comment. Jennifer, do we have anyone joining us by web that would like to provide a comment?
We have Eric Schuler.
Mr. Schuler, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you, Eric, E-R-I-C, Schuler, S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R, and with Alliance for Responsible Consumer Legal Funding. Just a quick question, since this hearing is being recorded, if it's possible, would you get a copy either of the transcript or a copy of the recording? That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yes, sir. We do post the copy of the recording as well as minutes on our website. We usually try to do that within the time frame per statute, within 30 business days, but we usually try to get that done a little bit earlier. But I can... I don't want to promise I'll let you know because I might forget, but we will have it on our website within the next, say, 15, 20 days.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other commenters, Ms. Jennifer?
No more commenters on the web.
Okay. Do we have anyone that would like to provide a comment joining us by telephone? Okay. comments from either the web or by telephone. We will now move on to the adjournment. The adoption hearing for R036-20 pertaining to Senate Bill 432 and Chapter 604C of the Nevada Administrative Code is hereby closed and adjourned on December 9th, 2020 at 1:46 p.m. Thank you everyone for joining us today.